You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Mick Norton here to guide you through the best of Wednesday's action. And what a Wednesday we have in store as well. We've got action at Ascot and Punchestown. They're the two main meetings, if you like. But perfectly good cards at Pontefract and Wolverhampton in the afternoon. Cheltenham, of course, it's the Hunter Chase evening. And there's a card at Lingfield Park as well. So plenty to look forward to. But we are going to focus on Ascot and Punchestown. Two superb cards. It's the second day of the Punchestown Festival and a very strong card at Ascot as well to look forward to. So plenty to get at it, stuck into, and hopefully we can have a winner or two. Three or four might be pushing it, Mick.
Might be, but I think whatever happens, some of the races that we're going to look at are, especially the two at Ascot, with the coming season in front of us, if you like, with the Punchestown, maybe the season behind us, I think there's plenty of interest in the two Ascot races we're going to look at.
Yeah, maybe not the easiest betting heats, but certainly will be very informative for the rest of the season. We'll dive straight into the action then, Mick, and we'll start with Ascot's 3:30. It's the Cigarro Stakes, a Group 3 over 2 miles, 13 runners down at Gorda Post. And these races always fascinate me because, you know, sometimes you'll have a 5-furlong sprint where the slightest thing can go wrong. But these 2-mile races, it's the same horses, you know, coming up against each other plenty of times in a season. And you don't always get the same result, but you know roughly what's going to run well. And there's plenty that you could give chances to here. Should we start with Marco Botti's Tac de Boistron, a horse that did very little wrong last year, won this race, then went on to be second at York in the Yorkshire Cup. Before winning at Longchamp, has done very little wrong of late, and if tuned up, would be expected to go very, very close in this once again.
He's actually got an excellent record fresh, so I've got no worries whatsoever on that score, Alex. And as you said, he was a very impressive winner of this 12 months ago under Frankie, and possibly the one to beat again. The only problem, you mentioned his final win in Longchamp in the Group 1 pre-Royal Oak. Mm. That means he's picked up that Group 1 penalty.
It doesn't. He carries 9 stone 9 here.
Which he didn't have last year.
He didn't. He and High Jinx, who I believe was second in that race, actually.
And he won the front. He got his penalty for winning the Prix de Cadran on Arc weekend.
They both carry 9 stone 9. Then on 9-2, you've got a fair few, you know, respected rivals. Well, and then 8-12 for the four-year-olds and 8-9 for the four-year-old fillies.
There's a sort of, it's a three-tier race, isn't it? With High Jinx and Tac de Boistron both having the Group 1 penalties. High Jinx, he's not won on his reappearance, but he has run well. But I do worry about the penalty for that pair.
I can't believe High Jinx is only 7. It feels like he's been around for a lot longer than that. OK, then. So are we going to look a little bit further down in terms of the winner, or are you going to stick with the bottom horse?
I think Palaceto hasn't got much to find on the figures. And he's got a good strike rate, Palaceto. Always runs well fresh, which is important. Not much to find on the figures, as I said, especially with Tac de Boistron. And still on the upgrade. Ought to have won last year's EBA. How he didn't win it, I do not know. And he's either won and finished second on both of his visits here to Ascot. So he's got plenty going for him, Palaceto. And I think he could get his season off to a cracking start here.
You mentioned he's got a good record fresh. He'd have to, because he's so big. He needs to be fit, doesn't he? Otherwise he's going to be lumbering a lot of weight round that he's almost not ready, not conditioned to carry.
Yeah, but he's getting older now, isn't he? And probably he's done his sort of maturing, if you like, and he won't be going through growing phases, etc., which I think he probably hampered him through his 3- and 4-year-old careers. I do think that he should be the finished article now. I think he's going to make up into a proper cup horse this year.
Okay.
Palaceto, he's always looked like it, hasn't he?
Any of the 4-year-olds to mention?
Yeah, definitely. Forever Now, John Gosden trained Frankie Wright, finished sixth in the St. Ledger. And he's
that partnership can't do much wrong at the minute.
Not a lot, can they? He's the new kid on the block here as he steps into the stairs ranks, lightly raised, good pedigree, and could well make his mark. Certainly one to watch. As I said, he's one of the future. He's one for the future. And, Mizu, William Buick riding for Luca Comani, lightly raced, won handicaps at Haydock and Doncaster last year in the style of a typical Comani improver. Then he finished third as he stepped up into Patton Company on his final start, only beaten ahead. Big step up in class and trip, but certainly one to keep on side. Comani wouldn't be dipping him into this deep end if he didn't think he was capable, would he?
Mm.
That's not his modus operandi. We know some trainers who would. Comani wouldn't. Wakia, we have to mention him, simply because the Sabre are red hot at the moment, aren't they? Looks an improving handicap, this horse, especially as he stepped up in trip. Well worth a try at the higher level. Stays very, very well, this horse. And again, like Forever Now and Mizu, horses with their season mapped out in front of them.
Mm.
I think it's a fascinating renewal of the Cigarro, but I'm going to stay with Palacetor.
OK, Palacetor, the pick then. In the Cigarro at 3:30, the 4:05 is next up, and that is the Merribel Stable Pavilion Stakes, a Group 3 contest over 6 furlongs, 13 runners going to post, and this doesn't look especially easy to find the winner of, Mick, but there's only one place to start, isn't there, and that's with Henry Candy's L'Amato.
Absolutely. Defending a 4-race unbeaten record here on his first start at 3. He's already dipped his toe into Patton Company, winning that Newbury listed race. He finished off his season by winning the valuable Red Car 2-year-old trophy, impressively, beating 22 rivals to retain his unbeaten record. And fascinated to see how he's trained on. And James Doyle is 2 from 2 on him. I think he's one of the exciting sprinters to look forward to throughout the season, a sort of new boy in the sprinting ranks. I would think, knowing Henry Candy, he'll keep him to his age group.
Yes.
Certainly for now.
Yeah.
And
which I think is probably the right thing to do with him.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing tougher for a 3-year-old than to take on these battle-hardened older sprinters. So if he swerves his elders, I think he could have another lucrative season. He's very hard to get away from.
In terms of recent winners this race, though, Mick, not often stable stars, if you like. Ninjago in 2013 for Richard Tanner and Richard Hughes, and last year Mix Your Man for Bill Turner and Ryan Wilde.
Yeah, that was a bit from left field, wasn't it?
Yeah, which wouldn't put me off L'Amato in any way. That's dead just how the last two races have gone. But that said, there are quite a few in this race that would sort of almost fit that profile. Richard Tannen's got a few in here that wouldn't be as stable stars. They're still very nice horses in their own right. But there are quite a few feasible dangers. John Gosden's got a runner. Brian Meehan started the season well. And Growl has been sort of well touted in the past. There's a few you could give chances to in opposition if L'Amato isn't fully tuned up.
I think he'll have to be very much under.
You think this is a penalty kick almost? It's his to lose.
Beacon's got the penalty, which is going to make life tougher for him. He bounced back from a disappointing run in the Guineas to land the Group 2 Flying Childers at the St. Ledger meeting, and he's picked up that penalty for that, which means he's got to give £5 to L'Amato. Cannot for the life of me seeing him doing that. And you know, he's sort of, if you like, the biggest danger. Hawkesbury, talented sprinter with a fitness advantage for a Godolphin. Charlie Appleby trains William Buick rides, but he does have his issues, this horse. He doesn't always look the most straightforward, but he's obviously very talented. But I'll be surprised if others aren't better on the day. I just honestly think L'Amato has got probably the bottom one, the only filly in the lineup to beat, Tundu from the John Gosden yard, Frankie taking the ride. She's the only filly in the lineup. Quiet debut at Newbury, left that behind when a well-backed maiden at Kempton next time, then finished 5th of 9, only beaten 3.5 lengths behind Tiggy Wiggy in the Cheveley Park on her only her third start, which wasn't a bad effort. She gets the £3 filly's allowance, which brings her into this. And if L'Amato, he's having an easy, and well, not an easy time of it, but
just isn't quite.
She'll make sure that he doesn't have an easy time of it. That's for sure. Tendu.
Okay, so Lomato the pick. Tendu maybe to follow him.
Yeah,
home.
I do think she's a very interesting runner in the lineup. Yeah,
I'll just throw one in as well. Maybe an each way play. Don't think he'll be winning, but Strathburn. Maybe a horse to keep on the right side.
Well, he's a pace angle, isn't he?
Yeah.
He made a lot of did the donkey work that day when he was second behind Royal Rosalma in that decent Group 3 there at the big meeting, the October meeting, wasn't it?
Just one of those ones that you just think if some of the others aren't tuned up and he's going from the front, he could be quite hard to peg
more
back.
There'll be more to come from him.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll move over to Punchestown then for the 4:55. That's the first race over there that we're going to look at. It is a Grade 1 novice hurdle, 3 miles the trip and 11 runners down to go to post. It's a good race, this, Mick. Shane Till is likely to be pretty short for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh, who, of course, was second at Cheltenham in the Supreme behind Duvan. Ran really well that day. And then followed that up just a couple of weeks later with a win at Fairy House. That was upped in trip. He's upped in trip again. That's probably the main doubt here, because although he's up against some talented rivals, I wouldn't say there's anything here that's in his league if he's on a going day and if he's going as it looks like he's going. He's certainly heading the right way, isn't he, Shane Till?
Well, yeah, there's two ways of looking at this, isn't there? That it was, as you say, an excellent second to Duvan in the Supreme. We know the Supreme novice hurdle works out right down to the 10th, 11th, whatever, every year, and he bounced back from that, beating Outlander, who's no mug, by 13 lengths at Ferry House next time. He shapes like a stayer. And he could go right to the top of this trip if he does relish it. And he did win the bumper on this day last year. But on the dam side, there's Dayoun in there, which doesn't exactly scream out 3 miles to me. He does gallop and look like a stayer and travel supremely well. But he is up against two horses who don't have that to prove.
I was going
to
say, he's coming up against some dour stayers, that's all they can do. Then that's not to say that they're not talented, but you've already got No More Heroes and Thistlecrack, who have the distance win to their name. You've got other horses that have, you know, been trying the trip. There's also, sorry, I said there's only two with the distance win. There's obviously more at the top. Fletcher's Flyer, Binge Drinker and Arctic Skipper as well.
Yeah, but I mean, there's very few who've done it at the highest level.
Yeah.
And No More Heroes, like Shane Till, still on the up. And I thought he was unlucky not to finish closer in the Albert Bartlett. What Brian Cooper was thinking about between the last two flights of hurdles, I do not know. I just went into no man's land when he could have had... He had the whole track to aim at and he ended up in a terrible place. I thought the horse ran extremely well, rallied from an impossible position after he had to switch him around the other two in front of him, and still ran a blinder in defeat. And, you know, that was just... another good run. He's got his stamina proven. I think he's a danger to them all. No More Heroes.
Okay. What's the selection then?
Well, I'm going to go with No More Heroes. I must mention Fletcher's Flyer, as he's another one who's got nothing to prove stamina wise. He performed with credit in Grade 2 company at Haydock over this trip last time. Did the donkey work from the front, just got denied by Definitely Red. Useful stare in the making. And they'll make sure Fletcher's Flyer and No More Heroes that Shane Till is taken out of his comfort zone, and if he can overcome that, then he is definitely going to be a world hurdle candidate for next year. But it's a fascinating renewal and a race to savour.
Yeah. Okay, then the final race that we're going to look at is Punchestown's 5:30. It is the Punchestown Gold Cup, a Grade 1 contest over 3 miles and a furlong. 9 runners going to post. And, well, we'll start with Jack Adam. Second in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, of course, 47 days ago now. Ran a really good race that day behind Coney Gree, who, of course, was absolutely phenomenal. And rates definitely is the one to beat here, Mick, but it is a good race.
Yeah, it does. Slight concern to me. Yeah, everything you've said is correct. Excellent second behind Coney Gree in the Gold Cup. Showed he was on the way back to what they've always thought him capable of in Gower and the time before, and still comparatively light the race. Only had 3 starts back from a long absence, so there's probably more to come from him. That first other one was in the Hennessy, wasn't it?
Yes.
When he was obviously in need of the run. My worry about him is he's only six. Mm. And how much has that Cheltenham race taken out of him?
And he's also up against some real battle-hardened, been there, done that. I mean, they may not be the classiest.
Well,
but
at this level, class, you need it, but you also need a, you know,
you do.
Determination.
Okay, so if we're looking for a horse that has the combination of those two, what about Don Cossack for Gordon Elliott? Paul Carberry takes over from, obviously, AP McCoy.
Yeah.
McCoy gave Don Cossack a fantastic ride at Aintree. You'd imagine Carberry will give it a little bit of a different ride. So that's not to say it'll be a worse one, per se. But Don Cossack deserves a crack at this level.
I think he appreciated the ride that McCoy gave him. He had him penned on the inside. He could tell Don Cossack wasn't exactly happy there, so he pulled him out, gave him a look at his fences and rode him very, very enterprisingly after that. And the horse, you know, produced the performances we know he's capable of.
Mm.
He made amends for that slightly disappointing run in the Ryanair with a visually much improved performance at Aintree under McCoy with cue card. It was no slouch, 26 lengths back in second. I mean, I thought he was a certainty in the Ryanair. I think if he got that sort of ride in the Ryanair, he would have nearly won that.
Mm.
For some reason, he didn't. But anyway, we'll see what Carby does on him. But stable jockey Cooper, whether I presume he's had the choice. You never know with these things.
Mm.
But it's an interesting switch that to Road to Riches. Instead of Don Cossack.
But he was third in the Gold Cup and he ran a really good race. And if your issue with Jack Adam is his age, then Road to Riches has that going for him, if you like.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I'm going to make Road to Riches the selection. I backed him in the Gold Cup. I thought he'd run a smashing race. That was after two successive Grade 1 wins in the Champions Chase in Down Royal, where he made all, and the Lexus, where he again led, which he wasn't able to do in the Gold Cup.
Hmm.
He didn't want to go and take on Connie Gray, did he? So he might even get a soft lead here.
Well, there's not many. You'd imagine cue card could be ridden prominently, but you wouldn't.
That wouldn't affect you too much, would it?
No, probably not. Just to mention, you've got cue card and Boston Bob in there too, and on his own that we've touched on already, the sort of the,
yeah,
in inverted commas, older brigades, who you'd imagine will run their race, but probably bump into one or two, as we've mentioned. One interesting one is Ballynagore for David Pipe. Has quite a bit of work to do on the ratings, but he's still completely and utterly unexposed.
Yeah.
Just wants good ground, and I don't think it's going to be as good
forecast
as he wants. And
maybe not. But as
he ran a cracker at Aintree.
He did. He raced of his life, and it was some ride as well. Hard enough race, though, just 11. What was it,
20
days ago. But
I just think he wants it rattling, you know, good ground. And I think whether there's rain or not, in Ireland, you seldom get that, do you?
No.
Good
no,
to yielding don't. Officially. We're recording this at 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. But even if he is at his very best, I still think he's got quite a bit to do.
I love Don Cossack, but on this day, I'm happy to stay with Road to Riches.
OK. Road to Riches, the pick then in the Punchestown Gold Cup, 5:30 on Wednesday. Promises to be a cracker. Thank you very much, Mick. Thanks for your time. Mm. Best of luck with your picks and enjoy what promises to be a superb Wednesday.
Certainly will.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.